Hear NFL legends, players, coaches, and media members from around the country sharing their insights and stories with us year-round. Here on Thursday Night, Tailgate.
All right, now back with us here on Thursday Night Tailgate is Jonathan Wells. Let me remind you about Jonathan's background. He's from River Ridge, Louisiana, played his college ball at Ohio State, where he rushed for over 2,300 yards and 26 touchdowns, including a great senior season when he rushed for nearly 1,300 yards. He still ranks in the top 20 all-time there on their rushing list. He was named team MVP in 2001, was a fourth-round draft pick in 2002 by the Houston Texans, and he played in the NFL from 2002 to 2006, all in Houston. He rushed for a total of 1,167 yards, 323 yards receiving, and he scored 12 touchdowns. Jonathan first joined us back in September of 2013, so he's been a good friend for 5 years now. I got my Jonathan Wells Ohio State jersey on out of my deep respect and appreciation for him, and we are excited he is back with us tonight here on Thursday Night Tailgate. Hey, Jonathan, Chris, and Bob, thanks for coming back on the show.
Welcome back,
Jonathan. What's up, guys? How y'all doing?
Oh, great. We're fantastic, Jonathan. What's going on with you? Catch us up, my friend.
Oh, doing well, man. I'm actually just fresh out of the emergency room tonight, but other than that, everything is going well.
Everything okay? You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right. You know, sometimes I wake up and parts don't work, so my wrist is killing me right now, so I had to go get a couple shots and some pain medicine for my wrist. But I'm good, man. What's going on? Let's talk football.
That's right. So, all right, let's start off talking about your alma mater, Ohio State. What are your thoughts? You look at they got their first sort of challenge of the season coming up this Saturday night against TCU. So what are your expectations?
Honestly, I have not pulled out my gauge on the Buckeyes yet this year. This was the week that I was waiting for. I think that this is going to be a really stiff challenge. I like the TCU program. Gary Patterson is a top five defensive coach in the country. And those boys have a track team down there. So, honestly, I'm a little bit nervous about this game, and I hope the fellas are ready to take care of business, because if they go out there and they're not ready to play, TCU can put up points in a hurry. So I'm looking forward to finding out who this young football team is.
And Jonathan, we got to get your thoughts on what's been happening with Urban Meyer a bit. Just, you know, when you look at the coach, obviously he's a fantastic coach, right? I mean, he's led too many great teams to too many bowl victories and near the top of the rankings. But when you look, does it bother you at all what's been going on with him? Does the character piece of it come into play at all, whether it's you as an Ohio State alum or maybe guys in the locker room? Does that bother the team?
No, not at all. I mean, those guys spend more time with Urban Meyer than any reporter, any fan. Those guys know who Urban Meyer is. And let's be clear, Urban Meyer's not being accused of abusing his wife. Urban Meyer's accused of not maybe babysitting a bad employee, but Urban Meyer has done nothing wrong here. So in my opinion, his legacy is not tarnished at all. You know, at the end of the day, I think that we put too much pressure on coaches when the law is involved. Now, if the law is called and the law doesn't see any reason to press charges on in this case, what is the coach supposed to do? Just overrule what the police did in their investigation? So nothing that the police department is talking about must be right. So for me, listen, the people that were supposed to be notified above him, they knew about this situation before he did. So therefore, his job was done as a coach. Mm-hmm. Everybody above me knew what was going on. So therefore, we're going to let the police handle it, because the police told them to step out of it. We don't want your influence. Let us find out what happened. They came back. They didn't press any charges. What do you want me to do? I don't understand.
Right. I hear you. So switching gears just a little bit, Jonathan, going back to when you were making your decision to go to Ohio State. Again, you're from outside of New Orleans, right? So you go on your recruiting trip. Yeah. So when you go up there, right, and you go for your recruiting trip, you know, up to Ohio State, you go to Columbus. When you're looking around, what was it that said to you, you know what? This is where I want to be.
Honestly, my mind was made up, like I told you guys before. My mind was made up in 1995 when I was a sophomore. I turned on the TV on a Saturday and I saw number 27, Eddie George, 6'3", 235 pounds, running the football. And instantly, I said, I'm going there. Now, mind you, Ohio State did not recruit Louisiana at all. But because of the connection with me and Chris Howard, who went to the school up north, obviously my mentor, Chris Howard, they got wind of me. And they were actually the first team to contact me. You know, back then you couldn't be contacted until you were a junior in high school. So it was a real easy decision for me. Once I got there, I saw the stadium, 105,000 people. You know, I love the color red. I love the uniforms. They happened to play in the Sugar Bowl that year in 97 against Florida State. So I got to meet the team and meet the coaches. So it wasn't even a decision for me. I was a Buckeye from 1995 on, to be honest with you.
Five questions for Jonathan.
Hey, Jonathan, your college stats, you improved every year from 98 to 01, and that was under two coaches. I mean, Cooper for the first 3 years and then Tressel where you really blossomed. Was it tough seeing Cooper leave for you, Jonathan, and compare and contrast those two coaches for us?
Nah, it wasn't tough for me. I love Coach Coop. I definitely always give him props for giving me an opportunity and coming down and getting me out of the Bayou to be the first player to ever play for Ohio State from the state of Louisiana. So I always love Coach Coop and give him props, but it was time for a change. Let's be clear that, you know, the culture of the program was not good at that point, and it was a much needed change. Now, honestly, I had no idea who Jim Tressel was when they made the decision, because everybody thought it was going to be Glenn Mason at the time, who was at Minnesota. And so we were suspecting that would get the job. But the first day I met Jim Tressel, it was different, man. It was just his demeanor. Just his approach, everything about him was different. The first thing he did was say, hey, you know, you're supposed to be the starting running back. Well, meet me in my office tomorrow. We're going to watch every run from your junior year. I want to sit down one-on-one with you. We're going to go over the whole season. And when he did that, I was bought into Jim Tressel. Like, I would run through a brick wall for him, and I still will today. You know, Jim Tressel, he's more of a player's coach to me. Coach Coop was more of a NFL-style coach. You only saw Coach Coop at practice or if he got in trouble. You know what I'm saying? That so it was totally different and a totally needed switch at that time. And obviously, he won a national championship the next year. So that just lets you know how different it was.
And Jonathan, for a guy that grew up in the 80s, 90s, I was wondering if you had any running backs that you really used to watch and admire. I mean, you were kind of a bruising back, but guys that played over the years, or maybe that played up to today, that you incredibly admired and really took a liking to.
Yeah, it was a bunch, but definitely my number one running back was Emmitt Smith, early 90s, obviously. Mm. I wore number 22 at my high school because of Emmitt Smith. I love Thurman Thomas. Obviously, Walter Payton. Who else would I say? Dalton Hilliard for the New Orleans Saints. I used to love Dalton Hilliard. So, you know, those are the guys that come off the mind, but those number 22, Emmitt Smith was definitely top of the list. And then Eddie George, obviously. Eddie George went in 95. From then on, it's been Eddie George.
And Jonathan, your first home game at Ohio State, your freshman year, 98, you guys played Toledo, and you guys were preseason ranked number one that year. So a lot of expectations, a lot of buildup. You know, Toledo was probably a team you expected to handle. But I was curious about your first time walking out of, you know, the tunnel. You talk about the 105,000 fans and the red and all of that sort of thing. What was it like? You know, was it a huge adrenaline rush coming out of the tunnel for the very first time for that first game?
Yeah, I mean, it's honestly something that you really can't explain. You have to witness it for yourself, man. I mean, the Horseshoe is one of the most beautiful stadiums in the country. So to come out of there and hear that roar, the bands lined up, you know, it was just a really special moment to come out of there in the Horseshoe in front of those fans, and something that those memories are stuff that I treasure till this day, man. Just hearing that crowd roar, you know, you never get that out of your head once you're done playing.
And Jonathan, I want to get your thoughts on the Houston Texans this season. Lost a tough one to the Patriots last Sunday, but this is a team with Deshaun Watson back, you know, hopefully getting himself back to where he was when at the beginning of last season, J.J. Watt coming back. This is a team we have a lot of expectations for. Both Bob and I really have a lot of thoughts that, you know, the Texans could go very far, not only this year, but into the future. What are your thoughts on what you're seeing from the Texans?
I'll be quite honest with you guys. I love Deshaun Watson. J.J. Watt's been a pillar for the Texans. I don't really watch the Texans, guys. I just got hired at 92.3 The Fan here in Cleveland. So I've been doing a lot of covering of the Cleveland Browns. So I haven't had an opportunity to really follow the Texans and see what they're really doing down there. I got to be honest about that one.
Okay, so let's switch it up. How do you feel about the Browns for this season?
I live in Cleveland, man, so I'm really trying to be optimistic, and I really, you know, would love to see these guys turning around. Obviously, I've been a part of a 2-14 team. It's nothing to laugh at. It's nothing funny because those guys are putting it on the line. They're working just as hard as everybody else in the league. But like I tell them up here, man, it's hard to win a football game in this league when you don't have all the pieces in place. They haven't had a quarterback, just silly mistakes, man. They were in a lot of games last year that I thought that they could have won. Even this week, obviously, we see how they blew that game. They should have definitely won that game. I'm just taking it week by week, man, but they're definitely improving. They got a lot of talent. They've hit on their last couple of draft picks with Denzel Ward and Miles Garrett. And we're going to find out who Baker is once they decide to insert him into the lineup as well. So I think they're on the rise. It's just unfortunate. I don't think Hugh Jackson's going to be here to see it. And I think that's kind of unfair to him because, you know, he was handed, you know, a team with no talent, the youngest team in the league. And everybody expects this man to come in here and change this garbage franchise around in one day. But I got a newsflash for you. It just doesn't work like that. So, unfortunately, he's probably going to get the short end of the stick sooner than later. But other than that, man, I'm just enjoying it and seeing the growth every week.
What do you expect? You know, how long, I guess I should say, how long do you expect it to be before Baker Mayfield gets the keys?
Well, I mean, if they can win, I think it's going to be a lot longer. If Tyrod can come out here and win, you know, four of his first six games, I think he may get to 8-10 weeks down the line, and then they're going to have to maybe put Baker in and see what he has. But if they go out here and go 0-4, I think he'll be in by week 5 or 6. They're going to have to go to him because, I mean, well, why not?
Right. Bob, more for Jonathan?
Yeah, Jonathan, I want to talk about your time with the Texans. As you said, you played with a 2-14 team. Not too much success under Dom Capers in those 4 years, but the guy was an incredible defensive coordinator. But do you think that team might have prospered a little better with a more offensive-minded coach?
Probably. They definitely, as a new franchise, they put their finances and resources into the defensive side of the ball. My rookie year, our defense was nothing short of outstanding. I mean, Aaron Glenn, Gary Walker, Jamie Sharper. We had some really good football players on the defensive side of the ball. And they spent all their money over there, you know, which left us starting 7 rookies on offense. You know, which, you know, we took some pounding back there, you know, as an offensive football team. But, you know, Dom did his thing. I mean, I think head coaches get a bad rap because if they're not the one standing there holding the play sheet and calling the play, how can you blame the offense on the head coach? Like, I think that would have to fall on the offensive coordinator, in my opinion. So, you know, Chris Palmer, I'm not a fan of him, but it is what it is. It is what it is, man. We played hard and we put it on the line and it turned out we had a 7-9 season and I think that was our best season while I was there. 7-9, I think might have been our second year. So we were competitive. We were competitive until that last year we kind of just fell off a cliff.
And Jonathan, how about Houston overall as a sports town, place to hang out and a place to live?
Incredible. I have nothing but 2 thumbs up for the city of Houston. Like that is a football town. I mean, just the atmosphere at the first game when we played the Cowboys, I will never forget how hyped that stadium was when we beat the Cowboys in first game in franchise history. That was one of the most memorable nights of my entire life. That stadium was just, it was incredible. So Houston's fans, nothing but love for me, man. They supported us when we were winning, when we were losing. I mean, they come up, they show up and show out. I have nothing but love for the city of Houston. And it was a great party time, for sure.
Jonathan, one more before we let you go, and thinking as a running back, right? The pounding that running backs take, and I was curious after a Sunday game, how long did it take for your body to heal up and feel good again, and you know, get right back out there? Was it a Monday Tuesday thing, or is it taking several days before the body is no longer in a lot of pain?
That depends on what stage of your career you're in. When I was a rookie, second, third year, I mean, listen, by Monday morning, I'm going to be sore, go hit the hot tub, you know, work out a little bit. By Tuesday, I mean, I'm ready to go. You know what I mean? It's not a long process. I guess it depends on how physical the game is, but for the most part, you got Monday, you're going and work out, getting your hot tub, get your massage. You know, we pamper ourselves. So we have the best trainers. We have the best massage therapists. So, you know, by the time Wednesday's practice came around, we're off Tuesdays. I mean, we're good to go. You know, it is on to the next week, in my opinion.
Jonathan, before we let you go, as you mentioned, the radio job that you're doing now, let our listeners know, how can they listen to you? When can they find you? And how can they follow you on social media?
You can definitely check. If you want to download the app, radio.com, and just pull up 92.3 The Fan Cleveland. You can check me out on Friday mornings from 7 to 8 a.m. and then Tuesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. And I'm also doing the pregame for the Browns every game day from 11 to 1 before the game. And also, if you want to find me on social media, my Instagram is J-Wells Media Group, and my Twitter is JW_Media Group. And then Facebook, Jonathan Wells. I'm active on all sites, and, you know, let's talk a little mess on it. Let's talk some stuff, because I like doing that with fans.
Well, Jonathan, it's always a lot of fun for us to have you as part of the show. Can't thank you enough for taking time out of your night to join us again. You're fantastic, my friend. I hope you'll do it again during the course of the season.
And feel better, too.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Sir. I appreciate it, guys. Have a great night, man. Thank you.
Take care, Jonathan. That is Jonathan Wells. And again, great career at Ohio State. He did a great job when he was in there with the Texans. And he's just a lot of fun, Bob. I always enjoy listening to his perspective.
Yeah, he's going to do great in radio because he's a no-nonsense kind of guy. He'll tell you how he's feeling and has a good pedigree behind him for sharing stories. And loved Houston, Chris. Great sports town.